beginning, the dispensation to the innocents, and then it goes to the dispensation of conscience, dispensation of human government, which we're going to go over tonight. We go into the dispensation of promise. From the dispensation of promise, we go into the dispensation of the law. And from there, we go into the dispensation of grace. And then from grace, we go into the dispensation of the kingdom, that is the millennial kingdom. What is our text verse in dispensational teaching? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word truth. Beloved, if you call yourself a Bible believer, you call yourself a Christian, and you do not rightly divide the word of truth, you should be ashamed. You should be ashamed. If you try to take chapters like we talked about just a moment ago, Matthew 24, and you try to shoehorn it into our life today or try to make the church be part of that, you should be ashamed. And the Bible tells us here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. That's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard pill to swallow. And the reason for me that's a hard pill to swallow, 1 Corinthians 11:19, the reason it's so hard really to swallow right there is simply because, guys, I think that if you're saved and you're born again, okay, you got saved the same way I did. And you should have the same book that I have. And you're sealed by the same Holy Spirit that I have, okay? And so we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, then why are there so many religions, okay? There's actually a great book titled that very same thing, Why So Many Religions? And it exposes the religions. Guys, religion is man-made. It's false, okay? Christianity is a lifestyle that a child of God lives, okay? You don't become a Christian the day that you say, I do. You become a Christian when you live a life for Jesus Christ. Now, you can buy into the lie that I've always been a Christian. No, you hadn't. When you was a child, you were a stinking, rotten, sinful child. That's what you were, okay? You didn't have to teach children to do wrong. They automatically did wrong. No child has ever been born sealed under the day of redemption. They are innocent until the age of accountability. Then a pure confession must be made unto the Lord Jesus Christ in order for eternal salvation to enter in. If you've never made that, you sit here today and you are not saved, okay? You are not saved. I don't care what mom and daddy said. I don't care what grandpappy said. You're not saved because the Bible tells me so, okay? So why are there so many religions? Why are there so many different belief systems out there? Well, the Bible also tells me that there must also be heresies among you. For what purpose? So that the true believers, those who rightly divide the word of truth, shall be made manifest. So the light may come on and the light bulb turn on, that those who are teaching and preaching and rightly dividing the word of truth will be known and seen. And I know that's difficult to take on board, and I think it should be, because in my heart, in my mind, I want everyone to be saved. I want everyone going to a church that is a Bible-believing church. I want every preacher to preach a Bible-believing doctrine. I want everyone to preach the inerrant truth out of the King James Bible. I mean, that's what I want, but I also know that that is not happening, because the Bible also tells us that evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we understand that. And again, it comes back and said there also must be heresies among you for the purpose of those who rightly divide the word of truth shall be made manifest. All right? So that's why we teach dispensationalism. That's why we hold to it. It is a biblical truth without error, without void, without doubt, without anything. So tonight we're going to get into the third one. Won't take long this evening. I'm going to promise you that. I want you to turn over to the book of Genesis with me. And we're going to get into the third dispensation known as the dispensation of human government. Dispensation of human government. So we're going to look at the beginning. The beginning is going to be found in Genesis chapter 8 and in verse 20. So this dispensation begins in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. So if you look there with me, the Bible says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Okay, so he took of those, and now you know why there were seven pairs of clean animals on the ark, because of the sacrifice that would have to be made for a new dispensation to kick off. So when his family comes out of the ark, they make a new beginning. He offers a sacrifice unto the Lord in 8:20 there, and God accepts it. So a new dispensation is now underway. So you need to take special note that even though a new dispensation is underway, notice how conscience is still a factor. because there is no written revelation right now. So Noah still knows to offer a sacrifice. He didn't rock off the boat and go, well, what do I do now? Well, you offer a sacrifice. You commend this day unto the Lord, okay? He knew what to do. His conscience bore witness with him. Noah and his family are the first people to be blessed, if you will, since the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. And up to this point, God had not shown man how to govern nations. He only dealt with man on an individual basis in this time. After men had destroyed, and after men had populated and corrupted the earth so that God had destroyed them all, he chooses to reveal to man certain national duties. And that makes a very strong imprint here on the up-and-coming dispensation. So we see the beginning is in Genesis chapter 8, 20. The beginning is there when Noah performs that sacrifice, unto God. And commits it unto him, okay? And I'm looking at scripture here that, I don't know, it looks like my slides are a little bit out of whack tonight, or we're going to get into man's responsibility, a little man's responsibility. So in this dispensation, guys, in man's responsibility, God demands men to properly govern society, hence the dispensation of human government. They still know to follow their conscience, and since they... there's no written revelation, and they do so. So they have the lessons of their ancestors, okay? Man can eat animals now. Look over there in Genesis chapter 9 with me and in verse 3. Bible says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So whereas before they only ate vegetation, now Genesis chapter 9 verse 3, we see they can eat meat. This factor, coupled with the fact that man's sin caused the animal population to be drowned, puts a fear of man into animals. Look at one verse there above where we just were, Genesis 9 and verse 2. It says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. So there's a fear now that was put into this aspect. I want you to notice how the blood of animals were not to be eaten. Look in verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye eat not. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's a part of Scripture. Now the Lord is telling you, you can eat the flesh, but you cannot eat the blood. Now here's something that's interesting, guys. As we move later on into further dispensations, that thing stays true, all right? And I know that we sit here and we interpret grace as do anything you want to do. That ain't what grace means. Grace means that you receive something you don't deserve. Mercy is you not receiving what you do deserve, amen? So this thing of not eating blood holds true throughout future dispensations. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for your souls. Acts chapter 15, verse 29, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from the things strangled, and from fornication, from which ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So some of these things, they begin to overlap over one another as God continues all the way down through these dispensations. Salvation, obviously, is different. The bearing witness of what to do, when to do it, and how to do it is obviously different as well. But the highest responsibility of any government, okay, and this is what is established under this dispensation. The highest responsibility of any government is the protecting, and listen carefully, and the taking of human life. Innocent people are to be protected. Those worthy of death are to be executed. Okay? I know that's not popular today. I'm not telling you this to be popular. I'm giving you Bible tonight, and I'm giving you a fact of life. Okay? I read in the news today that the state of Florida just approved of the death penalty for those who molest children, sexually molest children, pedophiles. Hey, man, have at it. They ought to. If you're a pedophile, you deserve dying, okay? That's just all there is to it. I don't have a problem saying that to anyone. If there's a pedophile in front of me, I'd be very happy to tell him or her, that's exactly what you deserve. The highest responsibility of any government is not to make money, not to tax a little bit out of people, not to support people, not to make sure that they don't work ever, and let's just give them everything they can, all right? The highest responsibility is the protecting and the taking of human life. So we find now that in this dispensation of human government, God is commanding man to carry out the death penalty, all right? Pacifist, I'm not going to apologize. It is what it is. Look in Genesis chapter 9 and in verse 5. The Bible says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require, at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." And so, very clear. You don't get any clearer than that. You don't need a cross-reference for that. That's what is opened up by human government, okay? So this wasn't the case in previous dispensations when Cain murdered Abel, okay? In Genesis chapter 4, that was wrong. A mark was put on Cain, but human governments were yet to be formed, okay? So God saw the need to install the death penalty, and he did so. And he's going to hold nations accountable for not obeying that law. In 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 42, the Bible says, "And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people." So we want to turn away and say that that this person, that person, they don't deserve to die, and yet they've killed someone else willingly or whatever it may be. The Bible says, "I'm going to hold you accountable." Now here's what I want you to understand. We think today, because that's written in 1 Kings under the dispensation of the law, that verse does not apply. Remember, the Bible tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration is good for what? It's good for reproof, it's good for correction, it's good for doctrine, it's good for instruction in righteousness. In other words, it's good to rebuke you, tell you where you're wrong. It's good to correct you, all right? It's good to help you live right, instruction in righteousness, and it's good to get you saved and get you serving. It's good for doctrine. So even though we are not under the dispensation of the law, all right, the foundations that were laid in these different dispensations often don't change. Just like the dispensation of conscience, okay, now we're in human government, but man is still having to operate via their conscience and what they learned from their ancestors, okay? So that was man's responsibility, all right? Quickly, we'll look at God's attribute tonight, God's attribute. So question to everyone. After everything that I just said, and I know that sounds quite harsh, you know, what attribute of God is most seen under the dispensation of human government? Anyone else? I like order. That's a good answer because he's putting things in order, and I like that. But the greatest attribute of God that is being seen is justice. Justice, okay? Without order, you can't have justice, so it plays in there. But justice is the attribute of God that is seen during the dispensation of human government. God is a just God. He expects a society to govern themselves, and he expects a society to do it his way. Again, guys, that hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. I mean, I'm not going to because time will not allow me, but there's a certain group of people that come into countries, okay, with a pagan religion, all right? And I'll give you £1,000 tonight if you show me one society that's been improved by them coming into that culture. I'll give you £1,000 that I can't afford to give because you're not going to find one. There's not one government, not one society that certain pagan organizations and religions have entered into that property prices went up, that, you know, life went up, life got, but no, it didn't. Everything went down. They're an infestation is what they are, okay? And we're in the age of grace. So God is still going to hold a nation accountable for not governing the people, the nation itself, his way. And we see nations across the world today being judged today in great many ways because of that. Righteous people are to be appreciated and blessed, while wicked people are to be punished. That's the way it is. This is explained quite well by the wisest man who ever lived, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set to do them, set in them to do evil. Think about it for a second. We read an article a while back that less than 6% of crime in the United Kingdom goes fully is fully charged. People are getting arrested left and right. Paperwork's being filled out, and less than 6% of them are actually going to jail and serving time. Matter of fact, the title of the article actually was "Crime Really Does Pay." Now, that's a crying shame, isn't it? Somebody comes into your house tonight, and they say the rule, not the law, but the rule. They come into your house, they break into your door, and if they're not on the second floor, you can't do anything. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. My thought is, if you're coming into my house without knocking on the door, you're coming to do wrong, and you're going to pay for it, hands down. But they'll try to arrest you today if you harm someone down the bottom floor. I read an article, one individual, that a couple guys had broken into the house, tied up the mom and dad, tied up the people there, beat them up this and that, and was going to rob the house, and before all they knew, they're going to kill him, going to rape the daughter, all this and that, and somehow that daddy broke free, dropped one of them and killed him, chased the other one down the street with a bat and beat him, I think either nearly to death or he died, and they turned around and charged the guy. Okay? Now, they dropped the charges, they dropped it with prejudice, and they dropped it, and he got a settlement. But he shouldn't have to go through that. The highest responsibility a government has is protecting the righteous and punishing the wicked. And somewhere along the line, our governments have gone astray in a great, great, mighty, wicked way. So what's man's test and man's failure? Dispensation of human governance offered a man a perfect opportunity to make a fresh start, to fulfill God's will by governing himself responsibly, and as normal, he failed, okay? Mankind has failed. Within this dispensation, guys, we find the three distinct races with three distinct characteristics come forth. This is important to understand because of the dispensation of human government. Now you're going to have different nations to be formed. Because those different nations are going to be formed, the same responsibility is given to each one of them. They were once one nation, human government. Just because they're separated and sent otherwise doesn't mean they can't govern themselves like God has chosen to be. Look in Genesis chapter 9, you'll see this. Genesis 9 verse 24. The Bible says that Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Cain, and his servant shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So you have the three distinct races amongst the world today, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the separation of these races into different lands and locations came about because of the sin that you find right there. But later on, even those, the separation, the distinction between the three came because of the sin that happened from Ham. But Canaan was cursed because Ham was just blessed. But there was an issue that separated even these lands and these people into different lands, the issue at the tower. So look in Genesis chapter 11 with me, and you'll notice here real quick. Remember, they're all one nation still now. There's three distinct races within these nations. They speak one language. They are still to uphold governing themselves God's way. But notice something that's important here. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. "And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They said one to another, 'Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, and lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men have builded. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, and that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Okay, so they were all together in one speech, one place, Shinar, also known as Babylon, and they used man-made materials to build a tower in honor of man and in honor of progress. But tell me one thing that's missing in verses 1 through 4 of Genesis chapter 11. Verses 1 through 4. Tell me one thing that's missing. Exactly. They never went and sought God's wisdom to pray, and God's name is not even found in those four verses. Yet in verses 3 through 4, mankind speaks a whole lot about himself. He says, us and we and one another and let us do. It's all about mankind and his progress, okay? God's not even mentioned there. So that was man's test and man's failure to properly and biblically and godly govern human beings, human nature, the dispensation of human government. Man was tested. He had an opportunity to do right, to serve right, but he didn't. He failed. So what is the closing judgment? The closing judgment for this time. You'll see there in Genesis chapter 11, God in his wisdom ends the dispensation by simply confounding man's language so he can't communicate. We read that in Genesis chapter 11, verses 5 through 9. And so this turns out to be a curse. It causes national differences in regard to speech, geography, environment, culture. You'll see that in Acts chapter 17. After this event, God is practically finished with dealing with nations, plural. And he will again pick one nation to be his own, and it begins with one family, which will kick off our next dispensation. Now, I want you to keep in mind, because a lot of people have a problem with or an issue with this separating of the nations or the races, which to form different nations. And we know who, what brother went what direction. Very easily see as we see that they're scattered. But people argue the fact was, how did they cross the seas and how did they cross the oceans? And, you know, how did the Shemites start moving north by northeast and then moved east and continue to go into the far east and all of a sudden down to the Bering Strait and into North America? Because the Native American Indians are Shemites. They are descendants of Shem. So is all the Asiatic races. So is all the Middle Eastern. They are descendants of Shem. The Israelites, descendants of Shem, okay? How did that happen? Well, it's simple. Remember, the earth was separated in the days of Peleg, okay? There was a physical separation. At one time, there was one continent. I know the scientists want to call it Pangea. I don't call it Pangea. But there was a time when the nations, when the land was all one. And then there was a divide, a separation that moved these lands and thus moving the people as well. The fulfillment of prophecy, we find that Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. That word tent, same word for tabernacle or dwelling place. And who would that be? If Japheth, how did Japheth dwell in the tents of Shem? The Bible says that God shall enlarge Japheth and that he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. What's called Western civilization. Japheth moved north by northeast, really north from the Middle East there, populated what we know as Europe, the Anglo-Saxons, the British Isles. And then all of a sudden, sometime, they decided to go west, did they not? The United States of America. Guess whose land was what we call the United States of America? Were the Shemites, the Native American Indians. Do you understand? And God shall enlarge Japheth, and they shall dwell in the tents of Shem. So we see all of that in biblical prophecy. It's very clear to see in Scripture of how the nations were separated as a result of man's failure under the dispensation of human government. Amen? So let's close in prayer, and those may be joining us online, that'll end our online service tonight, and we'll get into the rest of our service with our offer and missions update and prayer meeting. So let's bow our heads, if you will. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. We ask you now to please give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us where we have failed you. Thank you for the Holy Scripture tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless the rest of our service, as brief as it may be. I do pray, dear Lord, that you would touch us, guide us, and guard us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, that was seven dispensations, guys. Amen. And so we'll move.